Good morning, Smith and Roland Unplugged. This is Wednesday morning, 5:25:22. I'm waiting on Jason and Jeff. I think Jeff's coming in with us right now.
There I am.
You are the Silk Sonic of the English language.
That's me. That's the Sultan. The Sultan of all English-speaking jargon.
Well, yeah. Evidently, you sultaned a few things. That's for sure. we got a boo-boo from one of the social sites. We got a boo-boo.
We boo-booed them.
We boo-booed them. They're either gonna take us down or take us for a few days or whip us or something there. And that's some of your subjugation of the English language. You've done all that. that subjugating, we might could make it through this mess.
You know, and in all honesty, if you're going to go on social media and speak truth, eventually you're going to get in trouble for it. I mean, yeah, but it used to mean you got in trouble for lying, but now you get in trouble for telling the truth.
I don't mind getting a little whipping for that, but we go on so much foolishness, I'm not so sure how they can tell when we're serious or not. I mean,
well, ain't that the truth? That's exactly right. We may have been kidding this whole time. No one knows.
It's religious sarcasm, you see.
Let me tell you, there's a great responsibility also in that's tied to us, and here's why. When most people have a question, they either ask Google, Siri, Alexa, or the Smith and Roland Show. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And so there's a massive responsibility that comes with what we do. And, we need to embrace that.
If there's a pit bull dog out there, you don't go spit in its face. You see. And you compare us with all of these other fine social media streams,
I got you, just try to
clean your act up just a little bit.
Well, have you called on to violation we have been that's been attributed to our account? Do you know what the violation is by chance?
No, they don't. I don't think they tell you what to, I mean, no, it wasn't on there.
Oh, yeah.
It just said we had broken some of their rules.
And, oh, well.
I automatically knew some of that stuff you said. And
appreciate you blaming it all on me, as if you and Jason had nothing to do with it.
No,
that's the way that works. I'm glad that all the listeners are catching on to the way this relationship goes back and forth. To all of our worldwide audience, let me just say that we do at Smith and Roland try to proclaim truth, but the bulk of the responsibility seems to be on my shoulders, which I can handle. I can handle that. It's okay.
There you go, subjugating again. If you don't.
The articulation of my eloquence is quite amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to quit this subjugating.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, listen, they're talking about little prophecy news watch here, 12 nightmarish economic trends coming during the second half of 2022. So if you thought that the economic news was crazy during the first half of 2022, just wait until we get to the second half.
Yay.
Encouraging world. Yeah. So many problems that we are experiencing now are going to continue to intensify. Yeah. And Americans are becoming more pessimistic about economic conditions with each passing day. In fact, as you will see below, a whopping 85% of us believe that it is very likely or somewhat likely that the economy will go through a recession at some point during the next year. Do you think?
Yeah.
What breaking news? It's talking about subjugation here. The truth is that if we all have to suffer through this is a recession, we would be extremely fortunate. Our leaders have lost control of the economy, and many of us are extremely concerned about what is coming next, the following our 12 nightmarish economic trends should expect in the second half. Number one, gas prices will continue to surge higher. Now, that brings up a point. Did our president say that?
He did. He said. Well, he said that he was asked a question about gas prices. He basically said, you know, that gas prices are as high as they are so they can push people toward electric vehicles and embrace alternative fuels. So what he's basically doing is, and Joe Biden has this ability to tell the truth when they don't want him to. And so he come out with the motive behind why they're glad. They're actually glad that the fuel prices are as high as they are. They wanted them that way so that they can enforce their new green new agenda. And
listen, I got a proposal to make here. If you don't drive a car, your own car, you shouldn't have an opinion. I don't care if you're, I mean, okay, is that all right?
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I mean, hadn't drove his own car in years. But to have an opinion on that, I mean, it's all about the global warming stuff, which, you know, is my number one pet peeve.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They want everybody to go electric. And it's already been proven that it takes more fuel. It takes more fuel to produce and build a windmill than it'll ever save in the wind power.
Well, watch this too, Alan. If you drive an electric vehicle, what they're not telling you is they'll tell you how much money you can save by not buying gas. They're not telling you how much money you're going to spend to charge your car. And because the electricity bills are so high, and by the way, the grid can't even handle everybody going electric. But if, in fact, there was more electric vehicles, your electric bills are going up in connection with everything else. So you end up spending as much money charging your car as you do putting gas in the one you're driving now. It's not saving you any money. Plus, the electric vehicles cost you thousands upon thousands of dollars more. You do not come out financially by buying an electric vehicle.
Well, they're coming out with this thing too. An electric car, the whole bottom underside of that car is where all the batteries are. Well, another thing they're not saying, I mean, it's, you know, they're a little bit worried about holding a cell phone up to your head, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little worrisome there about a cell phone because of what the battery puts off. But come on, what if you're riding on 10,000 cell phones?
That's exactly
and,
right.
And your little right. Your little hinder parts are sitting right on there. All of a sudden you're riding on all of this, all of these batteries. And of course, I know they'll tell you cell phones got other things that'll bother you too. I understand all that, but a lot of it's what they feel like that the batteries put off. And here you are, you're going to ride up and down the road, sitting on all of these batteries, and which we know they also have a little problem with them exploding, catching on fire. I don't know why. All of a sudden, electric car is. I mean, now I like Elon, and I hope he makes it big at this point. But still, yet I just don't see the whole idea. Listen, they're trying to bankrupt us all. They know that you can't run this world off electric stuff. I mean,
Can't. There's
California,
no way.
California, they're making them. You can't even take a gas engine, a leaf blower in there now.
Yeah, that's right. My truck's not allowed to go into California.
Yeah, you can't run a weed eater, a gas-powered weed eater. You can't.
That's right.
A gas-powered lawnmower. They're making them all shut down to electric stuff.
And something that just bothers me to no unearthly end is we're dependent on other countries right now for gas and oil. Well, if we go electric, we're going to be dependent upon China for the stuff we need for batteries. So
that's
it's
right.
There's no difference at all. Yes, exactly.
I can see it now. They're probably going to come out with a law that you can't own a regular toothbrush. Everybody's got to go electric toothbrush. I mean, they're getting so stupid on this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, it's that type of reasoning. It is. All right, let's go to number two here. Yep. Number two. We are being warned that there could be extended blackouts in some parts of the nation during the summer months. It has been reported that the middle of the country is particularly at risk. So, makes sense to me. Let's quit burning gas. Let's go buy electric cars so
and
we
then
can
we can't charge
sit
them.
At home in the blackouts. Would somebody scratch my head?
Welcome to the world of Democrat policies.
Oh, the mercy.
That's all I can.
About 100 million Americans face power blackouts this summer as roasting weather overstretched power plants and and unreliable green energy sources combined to create a perfect storm. And that's exactly where we are. It says states stretching from the Great Lakes to the Pacific Ocean, which are homes to tens of millions of Americans, could have a hard time producing enough power for their residents this summer. They're probably going to come out with the thing and ask you to unplug your car between the hours of 12 and 4.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what's that going to do to the elderly population that don't have any air conditioning in the middle of the summer? I mean, seriously, goes off in my brain is I just see people that are stuck in their house with no air conditioning and up in years. I don't know, Alan. That really does bother me.
Well, that's definitely going to be a huge problem. Yeah, you know, I mean, 20 million new. I bet you. I mean, you can kind of. If you have to do without gas, you can sit at home. Kind of hard to sit at home with no power.
Yes, it is.
And be able to live a life.
Right. You know, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so I don't know. I was in my home. My wife has, I bet she's got 20 oil lamps. And it just so happens last night, you know, all this talk, I've never, of course, be just between me and you, don't tell nobody. I've been picking at her all the time for collecting all these old lamps, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
been kind of making fun on the side, just ribbing her, and how she's going to go outside camping and take old lamps or something. But so
she's liable to send you outside camping if you keep it up.
and so last night I was asking her about that them old lamps because she's got. I like to eat on the porch out there. It's about dark, struck the match and lit up one of them old lamps and sat there and ate and just that old lamp. Now listen, I guess I'm getting older or something, but it hadn't dawned on me that son of a gun put out some light. And so I told her, I said, Frankie, this thing puts out more light than I said, is this a newfangled old lamp, new engineering and something? She said, no, actually it's one of the oldest type of engineering. And an old lamp. She called it the burner or something, burner pot or something. I forget what she called it. But it takes a flat, you know, your wicks are flat.
Yeah.
And when you feed it in this, the burner, they call it a burner. She didn't call it just a regular wick thing. She said, no, it's a burner. It would roll that wick up. The wick was probably 2 inches wide, inch and a half, and it would roll it up into a round. When it came up through the burner, it was round.
Yeah.
And it created this round burner looking thing. And she turned that thing on up. My goodness, it lit the whole room. I said, well,
did it really?
That's when I asked her. I said, well, this must be some new type engineering. She said, no, that's the old engineering.
What about
and,
that?
She said, no, it'll work. And she said, now put your hand over it and see how much heat it puts out. My Lord, it'd burn you. You know, it's got this globe that comes up. And she already knew it, you know, two of them in one room would heat the room, you know, yada, 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 yada. She was talking. Of course, she knows all about the lamps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So I got a good teaching on the blame oil lamp and how much oil she's got around and different lamps. So the reason I'm saying all that, it might not be a good, might be a good idea for people to get a half a dozen of these lamps. You got to get a good lamp. She showed me the difference in just a regular little wick lamp. And then one of these burner lamps, she called it. I couldn't tell no difference to point it out. But one takes a big flat wick and it rolls it up. And that thing, I'm telling you what's truth. But it would put out 10 times more light than just a regular little wick.
What about that?
And anyway, I was just amazed. But then I was thinking, I'll just be very honest with you. It felt like it had a spiritual significance to it, that I was hearing her say that, and here I am saying it this morning. So I don't know. I know we're doing a lot of things, but for power outages or whatever, you could take those lamps and you could put them, you could put two of them in a pretty good size room, just leave it on. And it would not only, it'd knock a chill off, plus it'd light your, light the room. And, but anyway, so that's neither here nor there, but I'll throw that out there, and that didn't cost you anything. But anyway, so it's saying there, it says is you're going to be paying high gas prices, go electric. And then it says, well, we're going to have to cut the electric off some. That's number two. Number three, everyone pretty much agrees that food prices will continue to rise. Of course, they have already reached levels that are absolutely insane. Take the case of Jeff Good, who has co-founded three restaurants in Jackson, Mississippi. Around 18 months ago, a 40-pound box of chicken wings cost him $85. Now it can go as high as $150. Expenses for cooking oil, flour have nearly doubled, and we know that. I've talked about that. But it's not just ingredient prices going up. He's paying more for labor, for services, too. Even the company that maintains his air conditioners has tacked on a $40 fuel surcharge per visit to cope with the a 15-piece order of chicken wings, a signature dish at this place, went for $13.95 before COVID. Now, wing cost have varied so much that the market price today for the same, for the $13.95 chicken wing is now $27.95.
Oh, my goodness.
But that represents barely the margin. Real cost is closer to around $34, and they cut it to $27.95. So here, I mean, and it says, but the problem is he's got to continue going up. And his last order of chicken wings that he used to sell for $13.95 has went up to $34. It's his cost. So anyway, talking about food.
Yeah.
Saying that food's going to, which that sounds
like we're already seeing. Yeah, it does. I mean, everything that you're talking about, really, you can fit into the parameters of one of those four horsemen, because the conclusion of all of it is primarily the same. And I'm just absolutely blown away that for the sake of the climate, our economy is now producing the conclusions that you're reading there. But that's what's actually going on. That's what's going on.
And it's not even the truth is the problem. And
exactly.
I know people can say I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've been doing this for 50 years now. I've been a farmer and I've dealt with the climate. And the climate changes, and I've lived it. I've had to try to make a living through all of this stuff. I've studied climate and all of that all my life, and ozone layers and yada yada yada. And my problem is there's just as many people on the other side of the spectrum saying that this climate change is foolishness. I mean, scientists, and but they don't get the airtime, or they don't get the.
I started to say the same thing. There's as much scientific data disproving climate change as there are that proves climate change, and no one pays attention to the data that supports the fact that though the climate is definitely changing, it does it in cycles as it's always done, and the one thing that we can know is man's not going to change that. Man is not going to change that. As a matter of fact, there was a study done, I think like a month ago it came out, from a university that actually said that in India and in China, their severe weather patterns were not as severe as ours are. And they attributed it to the fact that in North America, the air is cleaner. Okay. So that's what's creating such severe weather patterns. I mean, wow. I'm just saying you can find science to back up about anything you want to find to back it up.
That's true. I mean, and, you and I know, I mean, I got some areas in my life that I don't agree with myself a year ago. So how in the world you going to get a bunch of scientists? Let's go to the next one. We got quite a few here. Number four, as our study change and as our supply chains endure even more stress, shortages will continue to intensify. The extreme baby formula shortage that we are witnessing right now is just a preview of coming attractions. Wow. Two children in Memphis have been hospitalized now after needing IV fluids and nutritional support due to baby formula shortage. There's a half a dozen of them there.
And Alan, I'm trying to figure out how in the world that it is that for the sake of political foolishness, we have arrived at a place where we cannot even feed the babies that we have in America. That is so insane to me. That for the sake of causes that I can't tolerate it.
Here's how we're coming up short, Jeff. Me and you, we're thinking that people in high places are looking after these problems, only to find out that nobody's looking after them. Coming out of World War II, Jeff, and in the 50s, most of your states set up their own health departments. It wasn't a federal thing. It was a state thing. And the health departments were, here's what they, well, I say health departments, that's maybe not exactly the right term, but it was like a health department. Well, it was under the health departments. They studied the people in North Carolina. I mean, this is the one I was told on and the ones that were shared with me. So take North Carolina. You know, there was a little think tank. They knew that in each area, you needed a milk bottling plant, number one. You needed a flour mill, number two. You needed fresh produce, number three. So that's the reason you had farmers market back in there. So what happened was it's in the state of North Carolina, we had a little think tank, and their job was to be sure that each area of North Carolina had a milk processing plant, a flour mill, and yada, yada, yada. You go on, start out, it's all food to start with. Then it trickled down into jobs, local jobs, cotton mills or whatever. So what they did, it used to be in each town, you'd have a milk processing plant. I'll use it as the main example because that's what I work with. And so each town, you had all these small milk processing plants scattered all over North Carolina that it would supply the milk. Now, here's why I'm using milk as an example. They knew back in that day that the children needed to drink local milk.
Yeah.
And the reason local milk was an issue was because they knew that children had allergies.
Yeah.
And they use milk today children get shots, you know, for allergies. They use such things as milk and honey. They also had a program that if you had honeybees, they encouraged honeybees in all these areas that you would sell your honey local. Now, again, the idea is you would eat local honey, you would drink local milk. Now, just using those two things, they knew, our health departments knew, that helped the immunity system of children.
Right.
And of adults also, but that's the reason you used to have school milk programs. It wasn't just to drink milk. Milk would help with your children with their allergens. Milk and honey both would help you with your allergies. And allergies are a lot of times, for most of the times, connected to where you live and the local. So that was the idea. Yeah. Yeah, the environment. Yeah. So you'd eat produce from your area. You'd get milk from your area. You'd get local honey. They would encourage you to sweeten everything with honey and not sugar, yada, yada, yada. Thing
yeah.
goes on.
Yeah.
So, and they used to even have home economic classes in schools.
Yeah, right, right.
The reason for all of that was to teach you. But anyway, so I'm not getting into the depths of all of that. But the point being that you ate local and it would help against your it would help. It was a motivator. It just helped good health. You see?
Yeah. Well, build your immune system.
Build your immune. That's where I was going. Builds your immune system. And as we've learned in these days, your immune system is everything, right?
Exactly.
I mean, exactly. Your immune system is everything. So, but now today you can get milk shipped out of New Mexico, be bottled in Asheville.
Right, right.
You see, everybody wanted the dairy farms out of North Carolina. So there's less than 100 dairy farmers in North Carolina. It would take probably 400 or 500 dairy farms in North Carolina just so North Carolina would be sufficient of milk. Right now, they're having to import milk everywhere.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because we don't produce enough milk to supply North Carolina. So, but therefore, you're drinking milk that's not of your area. So you just shoot the allergen thing in the foot and just throw it away.
Yeah.
All of your honeys and stuff now come from other. I mean, there was one time, is my point, Jeff. That there were people in high places, we would call high places, that had your best interest in mind.
Right.
They studied the supply chain of food, all of these things. It was done on a state level. And they studied all that. Now, for instance, if an area did not have a milk processing plant, guess what? They would, the state and the local area, would give a milk processing plant a big tax break, might even give them a building.
Right.
Just to come there and produce, and then they
local
would
milk. Yeah.
Local milk. And then they had programs to help young guys get into dairy farming if they didn't have enough dairy farms in that area to supply. And all of that was about public health. Every bit of it.
Yeah.
And guess what? It worked.
It worked. Right.
Now, here's my point. This day and time, we don't even have anybody looking after the baby formula, somebody.
Exactly.
Much less everything I'm talking about.
Did you know that the White House knew 4 months prior to the baby formula crisis, they had the information about it. Then when Joe Biden was asked about it, his response was, well, they can't be mind readers. They didn't know it was going to happen. Now, either somebody told him and he was informed and he forgot, or he was informed and decided to do nothing about it. Alan, you've got 12 points there. We've went through just a few. I find it hard to believe, very difficult, that we've got a White House so incompetent and inept that they can't at least do something about a few of those things, but instead they're doing nothing about any of those things. And it appears to me that they're doing it on purpose. You have to arrive at some point to that conclusion.
Well, everybody's thinking on the wrong things, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, if they're so globally minded. We're shipping baby formula right now. We're shipping baby formula from Europe into America for our babies to have enough. Jesus. And that's now think about that in terms of what you were just talking about concerning the local part. That's the thing. And we're having to engage our military to get that done. The military's going over there and flying it back. So it's under the Defense Act. They had to do take emergency actions to be able to feed babies. Unbelievable.
We're thinking on the wrong things. Just like you said, everything's so globally minded now. You got these places, these people that are in the think tanks. They have such an agenda of globalism.
Right.
And that's where we're getting all of these things are trying to, I mean, that's where I have such a fit about climate change. That's used as I'm offended that you would use a climate that I make a living with.
Yeah, right.
And call it such dirty names, which I know it's not true. It offends me.
Yes.
And
yes.
And so what happens is you have all of this globalism now. And it shows me and you, Jeff, that I think the spirit of the Antichrist is being pretty successful in getting people off of normal daily things you need to be looking after, like your local communities. Is your state sufficient, self-sufficient? Yeah. Your people have enough jobs? Do they have enough local food, healthy food? I mean, all of this stuff used to be done. None of it was legislated by law. It was all done as a point of encouragement. And then people would do it.
We went from local government to state government to federal government to world government. That's been the nature of the progression that's took place.
Yeah. Wow. Say that again.
Yeah. We've went from local government to state government to federal government to global government.
Wow. That's where
we're at.
That's where we're at, Jeff. My goodness.
That's where we're at.
So anyway, you're talking about the old paths. If we just get back to 1940-50 paths on a state level.
Yeah,
You see, Jeff, you used to have what's called a milk commission most of your states had milk commissions. Yeah. And that meant that they issued milk base, which is not a big deal. But what that done was they knew they needed so many pounds of milk in North Carolina daily. So that's how much milk base you had. Now, if you produce more milk than the state needed, guess what? Instead of $12 a hundred for that milk, you'd get $8 because you were outside of milk base. So it would discourage the production of too much milk. If milk was under milk base, then they'd pay a premium. If it's if milk's selling for $12, if we're under milk base in the state and we needed more milk, then they'd pay a premium of an extra $2 for milk to incur. And guess what? It just totally kept the flow of milk in a perfect situation. It was just amazing. And now, in my lifetime, now you had to buy a milk base. I had over $250,000 of milk base so I could milk a cow in North Carolina. One day, I'm not going to say the party that was in, but you can figure it out. They decided that they didn't want states to have that much authority over milk, so they went federal. So now here I had $250,000 in it.
Milk base.
I had to go to Raleigh the next week. I had to go to Raleigh to try to get a copy of how much milk base I had in the files of the North Carolina Milk Commission. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I couldn't go, so a fellow dairy farmer went down to get his. And he was going to pick up mine. So he went down to that office of the North Carolina Milk Commission. Yeah. This is either a week or 2 weeks after they said, we're not doing this anymore. It's going to a federal level. He went in. There was nobody in the offices. And it's a pretty big building. Nobody in the offices. The drawers were pulled open. Files were all over the ground. We didn't have cell phones with cameras in that day. Said it looked like a tornado had went through their offices and nobody was there and the doors were unlocked.
Oh, my goodness.
And what happened was that people went in there to get copies of their milk base because we thought we could at least show the milk base as a loss.
Yeah, right.
I had $250,000, but you had to have proof of purchase. With the paperwork, had to come out of the milk commission. Well, they shut it down so quick. I mean, it's just like us pulling out in Afghanistan. And that political party tends to do that. And so what happened was they just said, no, we're not doing this anymore. Everybody's fired and go home. And so now it sounds pretty radical, but it was pretty much worked out that way. And so I could not even get a copy of my milk base at the end of that. And I just lost that money. I couldn't count it off on tax or anything.
Right.
It was just gone.
So you lost $250,000 because it went federal. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just gone. Yeah. Now I'll compare that to the tobacco industry. In North Carolina, you had what was called tobacco allotment.
Yeah.
That was all done by the tobacco companies. Well, when they did away with allotment, then they bought out the allotment of all the tobacco farmers.
Wow. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't get me started on it. I guess I'm done started. So, you go to a federal level, you just make a mess of everything.
And that's what's got us in the economic crisis that we're in now. No one wants to take responsibility for the fact that there is historical data now that we have that can teach us and train us how to have a strong economy, but no one's willing to do it. We're selling it out for a cause, and the cause is globalism.
Yeah, and all of us are thinking there's somebody real smart. You know, we went to school, somebody's real smart. Yeah. And high places are looking after all this. And now we're turning around and seeing, there's nobody in the office.
Right, exactly. Nobody home. That's right.
There ain't nobody looking after nothing.
No, they're people. Not. They sure
when you run out of baby, when you run out of baby formula, I think you're down at about the bottom. I mean, you.
That's right.
Anyway, that's okay. Right. Number five. That supply chains is number four.
Yeah.
Number five, the UN is telling us that we are heading into the worst global food crisis since World War II. Now, let me pray tell, why would the UN be saying that? Do they have all of this information and nobody else does? Could it be that they're manufacturing this problem?
There you go.
Now, in some parts of Africa, the number of people suffering from extreme hunger has already more than doubled. Listen, Jeff, because of the agriculture, the increased productions, the growth of agriculture over the last 30 years, people, you were not hearing too much of hungry people all over the world.
Right.
Hunger. Right. Now, I'm not saying some people couldn't use more food, but I mean the hunger from food shortage like it was 30 years ago, we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden we're going back into hunger again. We done had that puppy whooped.
We've done been there.
We done whooped that puppy.
That's right. That's right. And
so somebody, now the UN has this information that we're headed into the worst global food crisis since World War II. Well, now between me and you, the only reason I think that might not happen is because the UN's one is telling.
That's exactly
right. I mean, are they trying to produce it? Are they trying to do this or what? In some parts of Africa, the number of people are suffering, it says. More than 23 million people are experiencing extreme hunger in Ethiopia, Somalia, and Kenya. And that was, we were whooping that puppy. That one was almost a thing of the past. According to a new report from Save the Children, it's up from 10 million of last year. The worst, now here they're going to throw it off on drought. The region's worst drought in 40 years is being exacerbated by conflict and pandemic, and the war in Ukraine has sent food prices soaring. But anyway, so number five, they're saying global food shortage. The UN is saying that. I don't believe it because the UN says it, but I do believe it because the Bible says it.
That's
one of these
right.
horses
is going
to produce it.
That's right. Right. That's right.
That's what I got to say about that. Number six.
Yeah.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
The widespread hunger will almost certainly lead to more civil unrest. kidding. Starving to death. Number six. More widespread hunger. Number seven. The Federal Reserve. Now, this is sink your teeth in this one. The Federal Reserve is likely to continue to aggressively raise interest rates. In fact, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is openly admitting that his institution's battle against inflation could cause some pain in the months ahead. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warned Tuesday the U.S. could feel some pain as the central bank raises interest rates to fight inflation, insisting the Fed would do whatever it takes to curb price growth.
Yeah. Oh, my word. See, Alan, let me tell you, the Federal Reserve needs to be disbanded. Mm-hmm. And Rand Paul's dad, Ron Paul, who a lot of people thought was a quack. You know, that was one of his big things, is he wanted to fed. But, you know, you're talking about all this. Can I just say something?
Now, listen, why don't you just go ahead and say something?
Yeah, I'm going to say something. And this might get us thrown off. Just short
no,
up.
No, but, throw but, it off. Don't
well,
throw it
I got to say this. Everything you've mentioned goes back to the same element across the board. It is globalization of the world's economy that's creating this. All right, now, when Donald Trump ran for president, his basic thrust was, let's make America great again. So
right.
at the forefront of his policy, and again, I'm not talking about his personality, I'm talking about his policy. At the right. forefront of his policies, it was he put America first. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. now they call Make America Great Again. The MAGA movement is a cuss word among liberals, but it is a mantra among conservative thinking people. And the reason is because there comes a time when you have to say, wait a minute, we've been seeing commercials on television about starving children in Africa, and we've been trying to help. But now the television is going to show us pictures of starving babies in America that we can't
feed. Yeah. Wow.
You see? And wow. and it's more than that.
Wow.
We're not going to be able to have put gas in our cars. We're not going to be able to wow. buy a home anymore because interest rates is going to be so high. Inflation's got us so high that we can't afford the food we buy. And there's coming a time when there's not going to be any food to buy. And wow. all that we need to do is at least for a little while, let's just concentrate on America.
Mm-hmm.
And let's put America first. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As a matter of fact, well, I think it's a biblical mandate.
You ever tried milking a sick cow?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
it don't give no milk. You ever tried?
That's right. Like, that's right. We can't feed the world if we can't feed ourselves.
We can't feed the world if we ain't healthy.
That's exactly right.
Right now, we're not healthy. The reason is we've joined this globalism, and we've been the heartbeat of the world.
Right.
And we've been the yes. heartbeat of the world. And now the only way, you know, everybody's wanting equality. The only way you can make the United States equal to everybody else, you had to deflate yourself. You had to
bring us down.
Yes,
exactly.
Down. Yeah.
And here's the thing about that. Even our enemies, if you dive into the numbers on stuff, even our enemies, we feed them. We give them medicine. We've done that ever since we've been a nation, and we've arrived mm-hmm. at a blessed state because even our enemies are dependent mm-hmm. upon the American economy. What's the world mm-hmm. going to do if our economy dies? If mm-hmm. we don't begin to put America first, we're not going to be in shape to feed no one, and it's going to hurt the rest of the world as much as it is us.
Well, I think it will hurt the world, but the problem, too, is they're going to flock to the yen. I mean, it'll be instead of the United States leading the world, it'll be China leading the world, which
that's right.
I mean, we've got egg all over our face.
And they're such a compassionate government that I'm sure they'll take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel better already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too.
Now, all right. Number eight, higher interest rates, of course, will be devastating
to
the housing
will.
Market. Number nine, defaults are likely to continue to rise, just like we saw right before the last financial crisis. Defaults on subprime loans are really starting to surge. Consumers with low credit scores are falling behind on payments of car loans, personal loans, credit cards, a sign that the healthiest consumer lending environment on record in the United States is coming to an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Alan, with the rise of interest rates, no one's understanding the fact that small businesses are not going to be able to float loans anymore to meet payroll. They're going to cut back, which means there's going to be a loss of jobs. Higher interest rates does more than just stop people from buying houses. It costs us jobs, and jobs then puts people vulnerable to the government to take care of them instead of them being able to take care of themselves.
Well, you just answered number 10.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah.
As the economy slows down, we should expect layoffs to increase and jobless claims will eventually start to spike.
Exactly.
In fact, we just learned that they have now hit a four-month high.
Yeah.
Number 10.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Number 11. There's 12 of these. Two more. Number 11. Needless to say, all of this bad economic news is going to be really bad for stock prices. The S&P 500 has already nearly fallen into bear market territory. And many believe that what we have witnessed so far is just the beginning. I guess that means you need to pull all of our stock out.
Well, I wanted
to.
I'm
sorry.
I thought about pulling my stock out, but if I pulled my stock out, then there was surely the market would crash, and I don't want to do that to the rest of the world. I just don't want to do that. So
yeah, you just
me and Elon's going to try to keep ours in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got mine's livestock. I don't have any dead stock. All I've got is livestock. And that's what I got. Yeah. Number 12. Many are warning that a recession is either already here or will arrive soon. And Americans are increasingly becoming more pessimistic about the economy. One survey that was recently conducted found that 85% of Americans believe that it's very likely, somewhat likely, that there will be a recession at some point next year. An overwhelmingly majority of Americans are expecting there to be recession within the next year. The poll found that 85% believe this. A sort of historic economic meltdown that I have been warning about for years is rapidly approaching, and the mood of the nation will dramatically shift as conditions greatly deteriorate. This was originally published at the Economic Collapse blog. So there you have it. That's what it's, that's kind of bleak. Now, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to ask a question. Just based totally on, let's just say just common sense.
Okay.
Let's just say just common sense for just a second.
Just a second.
All right. Now, what you've read there in every respect is basically a purposeful agenda of those on the left in order for them to obtain what they think is a greater purpose. Okay.
Right.
Now, how in the name of common sense can someone vote for an agenda that literally destroys our nation?
Well, you know, that leads us into this discussion, Jeff. I would like to believe that some people are just stupid enough to believe that what they're doing is right. I would like to believe that. But I'm being persuaded that there's a huge group of people just trying to destroy our country, because I don't think you can be this stupid.
I don't think you can be this stupid either. I just refuse to believe that you can be this stupid.
I think it's a purpose. You can't stick something with a knife and say, hey, I'm trying to keep it alive. I mean, it just doesn't work. And so, listen, when we went to school, Jeff, economics is not really that complicated.
No, it's not.
It's not. And they'd even teach you at one point how to balance a checkbook. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And
yeah.
So what we have now is we got a group of people that's defying basic economics.
The basic economics, exactly.
And you try to make it real complicated, and it's just not that complicated.
It's not. No, there are simplistic solutions to every complex crisis we're facing. There really are. Now, but Alan, consider this for a minute. The Bible talks about in the book of Corinthians how that the God of this world, who is Satan, blinds the minds of people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it also feasible that the God of this world is blinding the minds of people to common sense in order to obtain his objective, which is to rule the world? Wow. Is that a possibility? And I think exactly, let me tell you, I say, if we look for natural explanations to supernatural events, we're going to fall short. Because I just absolutely refuse to believe, you know, Joe Biden's 80 years old, and it's, I mean, it's plain that he has cognitive impairments. When you can hear him talk, and you can arrive at that conclusion. But even in a state of cognitive decline, you can't do what he's doing without you knowing that, okay, this is not going to work. This is just not going to work. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that you can be that stupid. There has to be a spiritual element tied to it, in my opinion.
I think you're 100% correct. Let me put that verse, you're talking about the blindedness, right? You're talking about 2 Corinthians. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 for a few verses. Now, this is the context of the blinded minds that you were speaking about. Here's our context. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. So he said, here we go. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's consciousness in the sight of God. That's just verse 2. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Yes.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, using your verse, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Which is saying, if you're lost, you're being blinded by the God of this world, and which makes you look stupid. It just makes
stupid. That's right. And
so anyway, so and then go verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we see our problem, Jeff, the bottom line problem. You said, could these people be blinded by the God of this world? The answer is yes. Not only could it be, it is. They can't. And what we're talking about is light to people who can't see light.
That's exactly right.
We can argue, but they're lost.
That's right.
Until we get them in a right mind to carry on a decent conversation with. In other words, evangelism. Our only hope, Jeff, is that this world break out in this world, and this definitely this nation break out in revival. And we get some lost people saved so we can carry on a decent conversation.
Well, and that's exactly, you know, you was talking about economics earlier just a minute ago. And let me just say, listen, what we're talking about is economically getting back to the foundations of economic policy. That's we're getting back to those foundations. And that's been a constant word in my spirit for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks now. Is just getting back to the foundational truths that we know are true. Let's get back to those building blocks, and because that's what's being lost. Pure, true, foundational economic policy has been lost in the political world. In the church, true, foundational building blocks of doctrine are being lost. It's being lost in the church. It's not being taught. So we've got this elaborate structure setting on a foundation made out of sand because we haven't built the foundation properly. We've lost those foundational elements of truths. And so here comes this big ginormous storm called economic disaster, and it's going to blow everybody's house apart. because we're not resting on the right foundation nationally as the church. There are those parallels, and we cannot ignore them. We cannot ignore them. And I believe this, Alan. I think you'll agree with this. The only hope for America is going to be in the church. The church has to rise up in strength.
I agree, buddy.
That's the only hope we have.
I totally agree.
I think God is showing us very plainly that we have lost our capacity to reason. And it's because we've left the simplicity of the foundations that we're supposed to build on. I believe that.
I believe it too. I agree with you. Well, Jeff, how about praying for us? We're going to have to scat for today.
All right.
How about praying for us? And then I'll talk to you tomorrow. Go ahead.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. And Lord, we need more of your grace. We need more of your power to be demonstrated by the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches. Father, I pray that you'll remove the blinders from people's minds. And right now, Lord, I pray for every leader of our nation, for every leader of our states, for every leader of our communities, God, that their minds would be opened to truth.
Amen.
And that they will begin a journey of building truth upon truth. And Father, the foundation has been laid. You've given it to us in the Word of God. And you say a wise master builder is to build on that foundation.
That's right.
God, help us to return to the foundational truths that in such a way that you will pour out your blessings on us once again. Help us to repent where we need to repent. And Lord, give us forgiveness, if you would.
Amen.
And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Hey, you didn't even pray for Jason. He's not with us today, and we could have said a lot of nice things about him. Didn't
we? Could. Let me tell you one reason I didn't pray for Jason is when you start praying for Jason, it's like a 2-hour job. So,
I was going to save that for off the air. I'm glad you rethought that one. All right, buddy.
All right, Al. I'll be tomorrow.
All right, bye-bye.